Hi, I'm Michael Feinstein. My guests today are the musical collective known as Gungor. Their first two albums were Grammy nominees. With the release of their fourth album, I Am Mountain, they broke musical territory that defies categorization. Michael and Lisa, welcome to Song Travels.
Thank you.
You've had this amazing evolution in where you've both come with your music. And you're at a place where I think you're creating music that is very evolved and it's very spiritual in a sense that's universal. It touched me very deeply. Mm-hmm. The sound, the vibration, the feeling of what you do, I think it's really special and important for our time now. How did you get here?
You know, I started writing music in church. I grew up in church, actually. And, you know, we talk about the existence and these big ideas like God or whatever. Music was always associated with that. So music to me always was associated with the big ideas and the big questions. And certainly my view of the world is quite a bit different than the one I grew up with at this point. And I think as both Lisa and I have evolved just personally in our own belief systems and our own, you know, struggles with, because coming from more of a conservative kind of Christian background and kind of growing from there, there's been angst along the way that has created a lot of music of kind of questioning what is any of that true, and then kind of leaving a lot of what we had been handed, but also finding new ways of speaking, even when we talk about things like God, like new ways of even understanding what could we even mean by that. And so the questions, the doubts, the struggle, the journey, all has found its way into the music. And this album, I'm really happy with this new Iron Mountain album, is kind of, I don't want to say the end of the journey, but it is really kind of a statement after a long struggle of here's kind of where we've landed on some things. And so on that level, it is very spiritual. Of course, it's not all about that, and we try to leave some room for interpretation on those things.
Yeah. It really changed for us when we stopped caring so much if people liked us. I mean, it's kind of a backwards thing, but when we started writing from a really honest place, you know, because we were honestly very scared to admit some of these struggles and some of these doubts, you know, like leaving this background that we had come from, was a quite terrifying at times thing. So, but the more honest we were with where we were at in the whole journey, that's what people connected with.
Because that is the universal struggle that we all have.
Yeah.
It's having the courage to be true to oneself and know that what our intuition tells us to do, or our spirit or whatever you call it, to have the courage to follow that and know that that is the truth in spite of what the externals say is, I think, for many people, the reason we're here. Mm-hmm. I'd like to ask you to perform something here live in the studio, and I know that you're both here with your collaborator and pianist, John Arndt. Mm-hmm. And I think it'd be appropriate to start with the title track of your most recent Gungor release, I Am Mountain. And I've been looking forward to hearing you perform it live, because hearing the production on the disc has made me curious to hear what it'll sound like in a live acoustic fashion. So let's get to it. Our guest Michael and Lisa Gungor with John Arndt performing the song that they co-wrote, I Am Mountain.
Mountain, I am dust, constellations made of us. There's glory in the dirt, a universe within the sand, eternity within a man. We are ocean, we are mist, brilliant fools who wound and kiss. There's beauty in the dirt, wandering in skin and soul, searching, longing for the home.
As the light up the skies, we will fight.
Whoa! not deny him dust, constellations made of us. This mystery in the dirt, the metaphors are breaking down. We taste the wind inside a sound. Skies we will find, find, find for our lives, for our lives. Whoa, 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 oh, 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 whoa,
that is I Am Mountain, performed and co-written by our guest Michael and Lisa Gungor with John Arndt at the piano. There are some lines in that song that I think are so compelling. The one that I wrote down is, our lives are momentary carbon stories from the ashes filled with Holy Ghost life. How does a line like that evolve? Does it flash into your head, or is that something that you work with saying this word sounds good, something like that?
Yeah.
I'm curious if you can give me a little insight where something, because it's so poetic and it's beautifully oblique, because it leaves to the listener to fill in what that means for them.
That's actually one of the last songs written for the album, and it comes first on the track list actually for the album. But it, to me, that song and even that bridge specifically right there is kind of the key and the answer to the whole album. Because through the album, we have songs where you can feel the deconstruction that we've gone through. You can feel loss of things we've lost in our lives. And you have all these questions swirling. And is there any meaning? Is there any point to fighting through all this? And this is kind of this recognition that we're these momentary carbon stories, so small, so insignificant in a cosmic scale, in a from certain perspectives, so much of what we go through is just, you know, meaningless. And it feels, it just feels futile and, you know, hard and momentary. But from the ashes, there's also this, I like the filled with Holy Ghost. That's kind of from our background, this kind of, you know, this beautiful, this momentary carbon story filled with this transcendence, because there's also this majesty and this mystery to existence and to the wonder of life that we experience. And it's both. We're dust and we are mountain. Mm-hmm. And I think they're both true.
The thing that I also like about the recording is that it speaks to me about the sacred nature of the earth, of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing nothing about your backgrounds until I started to listen to the music and then prepare for the interview, there is nothing in the recording that I would have identified as religion-specific. To me, this is music that is so far-reaching in fundamental world issues. And that, to me, is an extraordinary thing, to have that evolution and to for you both to do this evolution as I've learned to do it so publicly. How has that been?
It's been hard at times. It's I say it's been hard at times. It was the hardest thing we've gone through. Yeah, not putting it lightly. It's that kind of shift, and so publicly, because we came from very religious music, and when that's your job, that's your livelihood, that's your profession,
family.
It's every aspect of your life.
Yeah, it's everything. If I was an architect, and aspects of my faith was shifting, that wouldn't really affect how much I got paid, and wouldn't affect the jobs I got by any means. And so it's been really difficult at times. Even hearing, what people will say to you and what they'll think of you, and those judgment calls they'll make about where you're at in your life. But you have to learn to not look at those things or take them deeply to heart. Mm-hmm. But it's been so very freeing as well. I know people who needed to go through that shift and never did, and ended up living two separate lives, one public life and then this secret life that they have over here of what they really think and really believe. And that will destroy you. Mm-hmm. It does. It destroys people all the time. So it was really, really hard. But now, even this last year has been so, so good. And we'll look at each other sometimes and just like, wow, I'm really happy. this is really nice again.
Did it happen for you at the same time? I mean, because you're two different people. Was the evolution, were you... You must have had moments where one was not with the other.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the struggles and wandering and journeys that we've written about on this album have been happening for, a decade.
Yeah.
We've had the same experiences because we, not only are we married, but we've been in the same band together, and we travel and see the same things, and we have these conversations like, do you see this? Why is the world like this? Why is religion like this? Why is... And so we've been on the same journey because we live together, but there are certainly times where, she'd be concerned about me being really, and then I'd get a little better and she'd kind of,
crash at different times. And I think probably
it's a survival thing, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. When I would see him going, really far off this thing that I thought was the deep end, that would cause me to kind of, tense up and want to go run the other direction and pull him back with me. And there were many times of wanting to go back,
to the safe place.
Yeah, what's comfortable.
Yeah. Even if it's not so comfortable, it's what you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I noticed that your collaborations are, magnanimous in the sense that you sometimes write together, you write separately. Mm-hmm. You write with John Arndt. It truly is a collective. And there's a song that you wrote, Lisa, that I'd like to play from the CD. It's called Wondering, and I perceive that as a love song. Is it a love song?
Yeah, that came out of one of those times of, going back, backwards, forwards, backwards, forwards, and feeling like, man, this is, when you get to be 30, when you're in your 30s, you think... I guess I always thought there was going to be a time where everything would feel very solid, and all my ideals about the world and my belief system, I would be very certain about things. And so much uncertainty, fills my head just all the time. And so that's what Wandering sprung from, just feeling like I'm, kind of going on this crazy roadmap through life. But singing to Michael, and just the thing that God is, I'm looking to you, this thing that's still holding me together, the ultimate reality of the universe, whatever you want to say. I believe that exists, and that's the thing I'm looking towards to pull me through the wandering.
Well, I think that's a perfect cue to hear the recording. This is Wandering, performed by Gungor.
I've been wandering through this world, looking for an anchor to hold me. I've been stumbling through this world.
That is Wandering, sung by Lisa Gungor. Listening to the way you introduced the song, Lisa, reminded me of something that Debbie Boone said. Debbie Boone had a big hit with a song called You Light Up My Life. And it was a hit love song. And at the time, she said, I was singing it for Christ.
Hmm.
Oh,
and
wow.
So it's an example of how people encode into a song. They hear what they want to hear, and that's one of the fascinating things about music and about art. It means one thing to one person and something entirely different to someone else.
And on this album, like, we have different interpretations of the songs.
Yeah.
Like, because we'll write different, like, to me, I would interpret that song a little different, even though she wrote it, like, I love that part about art, how something can mean a million things. I think that's why it's so profound.
This is a question for both of you. Growing up, was there some music that was considered restricted that you shouldn't listen to?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, yes.
Like what? Like, I mean, just pop music, right?
It had to be pretty narrow. I could listen to jazz, so I listened to jazz, or religious music.
Right.
The perks is now we get to, rediscover some of these great albums that I never heard. I mean, I'm kind of on this task right now of trying to listen through a bunch of the top, Rolling Stone greatest albums of all time that I've never heard. And so I didn't hear Dark Side of the Moon until last year.
Huh. Have you synced it up with The Wizard of Oz yet?
The Wizard of Oz, the movie?
Yes, yes.
Oh,
a whole
I was
thing
able
you,
to watch that.
Well, I can watch
that.
Well, because The Dark Side of the Moon, you know, the album is synchronized. You watch it with The Wizard of Oz, and it's supposed to perfectly sync. I've never done it, but it's supposed to be like an alternate soundtrack to The Wizard of Oz.
I got to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's amazing.
I don't know.
Another new thing.
I'm sure there's lots of stuff online about it to tell you exactly how to do it. And maybe there's even a for sale version of it. I'm sure there probably is. Yeah.
I was able to listen to more stuff, I think, than Michael. Like, I had an older brother and sister, and so they were constantly we were always, when I met Michael, I thought it was so, that's one of the things I liked. I thought he was so weird because he didn't know any music, any popular music. He only knew jazz music. The only thing we listened to in his car on dates was jazz. And so I just thought that was so weird. You know, everyone's sitting around and some pop song comes on and everybody's singing it. But Michael, I mean, there's still songs to this day. I'm like, I can't believe you don't know that song. You know, so I think it was a little more strict for him than it was for me.
Oh, my. Well, that's wonderful. I love it. I love it. This could, your life stories definitely could be a movie. You know that. Or you should know it. Definitely. Be a fun movie. And a resonant one, a deep one. There's another song on the new recording, I Am Mountain, that has the line in it, "Everything we see is all." And the song is called Long Way Off. And that has a word in it that I had to look up.
Apophatic mystic.
Apophatic.
I'm just going to guess that's what it was.
Yes. Yes. And it means that one cannot totally understand the fullness of God.
Mm-hmm.
And one cannot even speak the name of God and that it does not encapsulate who God is.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, I put that line was a little tongue-in-cheek, but it was also kind of, I mean, it's also a little bit accurate. But there's something about the apophatic is kind of an Eastern way of spirituality that is not too common in the West. But it's recognizing the limits of human language as not being able to contain a lot of them, especially the mystery of God. But I see fundamentalism as something not just within religion, but just the way people approach life. And even in humanistic thought, secular thought, you get just people that are very dogmatic about that there is no God, that there is no, and what are you even talking about? Mm-hmm. So it's to me that The Long Way Off is kind of an admission that we are human beings and we can get clever and we make up words for things, but they're just words. They're reflections of reality at best, and a lot of what we say and think of as so solid can be deconstructed quite easily. Mm. So it's just kind of an admission and a posturing of humility, maybe. It's like we should maybe be a little bit more humble, and maybe if we were, we'd get along a little better with each other, rather than just getting so dogmatic and polarized with our words right off the bat.
Mm-hmm. Let's listen now, if you'll perform it, Long Way Off.
The smartest men, they built a rocket, aimed it at a target far, far, far away. And by the time they knew they lost it, and they were a long way, 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 were a honest men, they saw a world with corners and endings far, far, far away. When they drew it out and searched it, and they were alone.
Our guests, Michael and Lisa Gungor with John Arndt at the piano, known as the Collective Gungor, performing their song, Long Way Off, written by Michael, Lisa, and John. There's more coming up in a moment with Michael and Lisa Gungor with pianist John Arndt. I'm Michael Feinstein, and this is Song Travels from NPR Music. Michael, you've written a book that I want to read.
Oh.
It's called The Crowd, the Critic, and the Muse, a book for creators. I just was reading descriptions of the book and what you set out to do. And creativity today, to me, seems to be one of the remedies for some of the ills in the world, because it's one of my rants that the reason we have such a divide in our country is because we've lost the common ground of what arts bring to us.
Hmm.
What was your motivation in creating this book?
It was something that just was kind of burning in me to not just write, but to kind of think through myself, kind of go through the process of like, because my art kept changing and I had seen why, and I was part of the music industry at large, and especially when you get into like the religious branches of the music industry, just people want to force you into things, into boxes, into categories, into things that are kind of anti-creative, and I think people can respond in different ways. And how do you tend whatever it is inside of me that creates? How do I tend that in a healthy way, where I can create things that are true, that are beautiful, and that aren't just catering and pandering, but that also, you know, that have some worth for the world as well. It was that, and also seeing and feeling some of the angst about trying to be a musician professionally in a world. And in my thought process through all that, I kind of found myself not just in a niche of a music industry, but as a human being with human issues. And I started to see the same issues with other people that I'd see in their jobs, in their world. And because in essence, I think we're all creators on some level. We all form our world and our reality towards our imagination and our intention. And that's what life is as a human being, whether you're, crunching numbers or putting notes on a page, or, you know, we're all just forming the potential around us into something actual. And so how do we do that? And how does that relate to our deepest humanness? It was something I thought I wanted to explore. And so that was the book.
One of the things I find it, I don't know if you've experienced it, the audience becomes part of the creator of what we do.
Yeah.
When we're performing.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been talking about that at the end of each show, because, you know, you're on a tour, you think about doing the same thing, the same set, you know, every single night. It has potential to become very monotonous after so long. You know, it's like driving a car, you don't know. Which, you know, you've been turning and driving, but you don't really know how you got to the end. So, but the thing about with music is like the audience, the way that you're connecting with them, and the way they respond, and even just, you know, the chit chat in between songs, you know, if people are yelling out, we're having like some short dialogue. They make it. They become part of it with the night. That won't happen again. You know, that something is being created right there in that space.
One of the things I feel when I listen to your work is that it has almost a Celtic sort of influence in it. And I ask myself, what does Celtic mean? To me, that means a feeling of being connected to the planet, to the earth, a kind of grounding to the fundamentals of existence, and a sort of ancient mysticism.
Mm-hmm.
There's something mysterious and mystic. Do you feel that energy sometimes channeling through you? Do you feel like there's some kind of ancient thing coming through sometimes? Mm. Or am I just totally crazy? Because this is my projection, obviously, but I feel it so strongly.
I think we're all connected, you know, and I think we're connected to the earth, and it matters. And so to me, when you say mystical and the earth, that is very accurate to the spirit of I Am Mountain. That's the whole album is kind of trying to see the earth with eyes that are healthy.
There's a song on I Am Mountain that you wrote, Michael, called Yesternight. I don't think I ever heard the word Yesternight.
There's kind of like a mythical aspect of the song, the gods and the just kind of felt like a word like yesternight. I don't even remember. I just sang it, I think. But it's a story to me of loss.
You have spoken very frankly and I think even admirably about some of the life struggles you go through. I say admirably because it is something that I think helps other people to know what people go through and when they have the courage to talk about those things. Is yesternight in any way related to your life journey or life crisis, such as it is?
Yeah. Yesternight, it kind of uses this idea of this mythical construct. You know, the gods are smiling down on me one day, and the angels are flapping their wings, and it's all beautiful. And then the night comes, and the whole world kind of falls away, and the gods are gone, and it's kind of this picture to me of loss of something that you thought you needed to be happy, you thought you needed to survive in the world, and then that's from experience for me. But then there's also kind of this hope that I feel in Yesternight as well. It's loss, but then it's the hope. Even within the night, you see, like, there's the line, the shadows lift their hands and praise the light. And there's this kind of new hope in this new world that you've never experienced before, but you have to find a way to keep going and keep living. And I think we always have all that we need to be happy. We don't need to add a bunch of stuff or a bunch of whatever. I think we always have everything we need to be happy right here.
Would you please perform Yesternight?
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
Yesterday, the gods were smiling down on me. Yesterday, the angels graced the glassy sea. The world was bathed in black and mystery. Yesterday. Disappear from sight. The angels flapped their wings and took their songs to fly. The shadows lift their hands and praise the light. Yesterday, your hands were home in mine. Yesterday, my heart was yours to find. Yesternight, I found some peace of mine.
Yesternight, performed by our guests, Gangur. One of the changes you've made in your lives together is that you moved to Denver and you started what you call a community of believers, Bloom. What made you want to start another means of worship?
Well, we had come, we'd been part of a this big mega thing for a while, and we found ourselves wanting just to reconnect with just being human beings. Yeah, for so long it was like, this is our job, you know, doing music at a church. And so we wanted to kind of rediscover just living and truly loving people on a very simple level, and finding a community of people who could be honest with where they were at. Not that we didn't know anyone or have people around that couldn't, you know, in the other space, but there's something about when it gets really big, you feel like you have to be really shiny and say certain things, and it has, you know, it's, for some reason for us, we felt like we were losing the honesty, and we needed to follow our own hearts and find, rediscover a community where we could all be honest together, so.
I experienced kind of a complete loss of everything at the end of last year, all my beliefs and stuff. And I was actually supposed to speak at the church that we originally started in our living room. And I was like, well, what do? Do I BS my way through this? Do I cancel? Or do I just tell them what's going on? And the spirit of it was always, we're human beings that are going to have differences of opinion and beliefs and all that. And the most important thing is that we are honest and that we come together and that we strive for some sort of hope, faith, and love in the middle of all that. And so I just got up and just told everybody what was going on. Like, hey guys, I don't know if I believe anything right now. I don't know what I believe.
And then people get up and start to leave.
That's what you think.
I'm out of here. But
they didn't. That's what was so beautiful. Like, they just embraced me, and there's a beauty about that community in Denver. Mm-hmm.
Does an experience like that not deepen your bonds with people?
It does, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
On I Am Mountain, the track Wayward and Torn begins with sound effects of gravel and sort of a crunching sound. Where was that recorded?
Outside of my garage.
Yeah.
Yeah. That song is like, I kind of had this picture of people walking down a dirt road kind of after searching for a place to stop and can't find any place. It's like, I guess our place is the road, you know, like finding a home in the journey. And to me, musically even, if you listen to Gungor through the whole album, you kind of, I've used the word transgenre before, but you kind of have all these influences and sounds that don't necessarily belong together. A synthesizer and a banjo to this really, but and a cello and all these, like, so the Wayward and Torn, you kind of, the world gets divided up into these camps so often where it's like, are you going to be this kind of band? Are you going to be this kind of thing? Are you going to be, you know, a Republican or a Democrat? Are you going to be? It's just we polarize into camps. That's what we tend to do. And there's a lot of people that don't feel comfortable with those camps. And we're some of those people that are like, I mean, I'm happy. I'm with you. I'm a human being, but I don't want to just stay in your camp. I don't like all your walls, you know? So all the camps have shut their gates. All the lines are drawn and clear.
All who are worn.
All who are worn, wayward and torn, you're welcome here. So the group of wanderers and stragglers and those who don't necessarily fit the boxes, you can have a home with us.
How great. Well, please perform it for us. Wayward and Torn.
Thank you.
where it slows and where it bends.
Wayward and Torn. I like that song very much because I feel like I want to go off on a journey with you guys.
Thanks. Yeah, it's interesting how with this, some albums we've had like a theme and we know we have a theme while we're writing the songs. But with this one, there was really none of that, and we didn't really truly see the connection until it was all put together. And it's felt for us like a big theme through it is the wandering, even with, you know, Wayward and Torn, and just this idea that we've been looking for a place, but maybe but finding comfort and finding the home in the wandering of it all. So, yeah.
How has having a child changed your lives?
Oh, man. Gosh.
In every way.
In every single way. Being a parent is so wonderful, but the actual parenting, you know, when you're going through the terrible twos or, you know, just some of this stuff, it's very hard and very challenging. And you see a lot of the ways that you're very selfish, you know, like I want my time. And we were married 10 years before we had our daughter. And so we were very used to doing things when we wanted to and how we wanted to. So it's changed in every way, but it's amazing. It's so wonderful.
Well, she must be musical, right?
She loves to sing, and she loves musicals. Like she loves Annie, and Annie's her favorite movie. And so, and she also loves these like little fairy shows. She's really into fairies and totally into babies and princesses. And so she'll get her princess dress on. Like she has to have everything just perfect before she watches this show because she has to have everything that the show has. But she's, you know, memorizing the lines and the movements. And then she'll come up to you and just, she's very dramatic sometimes in the way that she deals with you. You know, she'll like grab your face. Oh, I love you, Mama. You know, just she's a drama one. Yeah.
So could we say that perhaps this next song I'd like you to do, the best part is about her?
Yeah, you know, the best part is really about her and Michael. You know, all the time we look at each other and we just say, gosh, I can't believe these places we get to go to and see. You know, we just got back from New Zealand. We got to do a video in front of the Eiffel Tower, been to Hong Kong. We've been, and just all these places that we get to see and play music, like what a cool thing that is, you know? And I know people who haven't been out of their hometown. But it's easy to get in the mindset of, I need to experience these grandiose things for your life to be full. And it's just not true. From the things that I've experienced, I love those experiences, but it's amazing how full, when you're fully present and you're fully letting yourself experience the magic of a moment. We were laying on our couch. Michael and I were kind of, you know, snuggling on the couch. Our daughter was twirling around, and we'd just gotten back from a tour, and the way the moment was purely magical and purely beautiful and full. Like, these are the best parts of life if we like fully embrace them and fully let ourselves feel them. These little moments with our little family of three, you know, This is the best of life when you know that the person embracing you has seen you through your worst and doesn't just accept it, but like truly loves you, you know, and not just for who you're going to be or if you're going to change, but is truly embracing who you are. And so we have that, and then seeing this little child, this little thing, it's kind of like a child is your heart running around. So yeah, this song was definitely written for them.
As our last selection, please sing it for us now.
I have seen it all. I have seen it all. I felt it all. Life is running swift now, like a raging river, how it runs out. Please don't go. Please don't go.
'cause this is the best part. Lying awake in the dark, this is the best part. Here in the beat of heart, I have seen it. I have seen it all. Have I felt it all? Time is old and young. Oh, glitter moments fleeting on my skin. Pausing. Pause in the glow, 'cause this is the best part. Lying awake in the dark, this is the best part. Here in the beat of the heart,
That's a beautiful, beautiful song, The Best Part, performed by Gungor. Thank you, Michael and Lisa, for being on Song Travels. I truly wish you the best that life can offer and bless you for bringing something so beautiful into the world. Please keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you so
thank
much.
You.
Yeah,
thank you
for having us.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to Song Travels with host Michael Feinstein and his guests Gungor. Song Travels is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio and is recorded at Ocean Way Studios in Hollywood, California, with post-production in the Elaine T. Freeman Suite at ETV Radio in Columbia, South Carolina. The producer is Shari Hutchinson. Associate producer, Laura Hunsberger. Recording engineer, Scott Moore. Post-production engineers, David Mitchell and Andrew Shire. The executive producer is Kobe Hennessy. The executive in charge is Linda O'Brien. Special thanks to Anya Grundman, director and executive producer of NPR Music. We love to hear from you. Our email address is songtravels@scetv.org. Our postal address is 1041 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. Song Travels is supported in part by an award from the National Endowment for the Arts, Artworks. Additional support comes from NPR and NPR member stations. Support for NPR comes from NPR contributors, which include the Lemelson Foundation, supporting inventors and invention to improve lives in the U.S. and developing countries, on the web at lemelson.org, and the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, helping people build measurably better lives, on the web at hewlett.org. This is NPR.